Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Vav, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, two lines from the top. The Gemara, the Mishnah discussed a situation of Gana Vehigdish, Akach Tavach Hamachar. If somebody stole a Shor Seh, he was Magdishit, and then he did Tficha Mechira. The Mishnah said that under such circumstances he would have to pay kefil, but he would not have to pay dal vehei. And as the Mefarshim explained, our Gemara is going to be following the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan. We learned the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan on Daf Samaches, how Rabbi Yochanan understood our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan understands that what happened in our Mishnah was that the owner of this animal was miyayish from the animal. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that yish b'chdi loikana, yish itself doesn't affect the kinyan. And what happened here was, not only was the yish, but together with the yish, because the ganif shechted the animal, so we have here a maisa, shinu maisa, a shinu hashem, and therefore he's potter from the dal vehei, because by the time he's shechting the animal, shalohu taveach, shalohu meicher, he's not shechting the animal that belongs to the original owner, rather he's shechting the animal that belongs to him, the ganif. And that's why he's not chayv dal vehei. That's how Rabbi Yochanan explained our Mishnah, and that's where our Gemara picks up. Ask the Gemara Amri. Bishlam atfich lo mechayiv. We could understand why if the ganav slaughtered the animal in such a way, he's not chayiv. The ki katovach, the hegdish katovach. He's not shechting an animal that belongs to the original owner. He's shechting an animal that belongs to hegdish. And as we have learned, and we'll learn actually later in today's shiur again, there is no chayiv of dal vehei if somebody shechts an animal that belongs to Hegdish. V'loi demarika tovach, he's not shechting the animal that belongs to this original owner. Has, however, asked the Gemara, ala Hegdish l'chayiv, on the actual act of Hegdish, of being magdish the animal, why is he not being chayiv, mali machor l'hegyet, mali machor l'shamayim? Just like if he would have sold this animal, he would be chayiv. We keep on saying, tvicha oy mechira. And if the ganav sold an animal, and as again, we're following Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, even if there was already yiyush, if the ganav sold the animal that he stole, he's chayiv. So what's the difference, asked the Gemara, if he sells an animal to another individual, and he's transferring the ownership of the animal, or he's magdish an animal, isn't that another form of hegdish, and he ought to be chayiv, of transferring? Isn't it another form of mechira for which he ought to be chayiv? Mefarshim ask, how can we compare mechira to hegdish? If I sell a building, I sell anything to anyone else, it becomes completely the property of the purchaser. By hegdish, however, there's a concept that we could be shoyel on hegdish. Hegdish is a form of a nether, and the halacha is that if somebody is shoyel, he goes to the rav and has that annulled, that the din is that it will be considered annulled. So why is the din, asked the Mefarshim, that he can't have it annulled? So the Mefarshim, he can be shoyel on it, and therefore hegdish should not be the same as mechira. So Mefarshim explained that there are circumstances where an item that you were magdish, you can no longer be shoyel on the hegdish. Once it is put into the hands of the gizbar, you can no longer be shoyel on that hegdish. Furthermore, some Mefarshim say, you don't even have to actually give it to the gizbar. As soon as it comes into the chatzar, it comes into the possession of hegdish, it can no longer be, you can no longer be shoyel on it. And that's why the Gemara is asking, why is being magdish something any different than selling it. Answers the Gemara, Hamani, who is the Tanava Mishnah? Says the Gemara, it's following the opinion of Shimon Hi, Dama Kachm Shechai Berchuson Kibishusa de Mari Kaimi. We have already found this opinion of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is of the opinion that there are two ways how you could donate a carbon. You could donate a carbon by saying Hare Olai, or you could donate a carbon by saying Hare Zu. When somebody says Hare Zu, he's specifying an animal that he's being magdish. And the halach is that if he specifies that animal, the din is he could, if something happens to that animal, he's not held responsible. If somebody says Hare Olai, and then he takes an animal to fulfill his obligation, and then something were to happen to that animal, the halach is he has to replace it. So the Gemara is suggesting that the ganav here, the way he was magdish the animal, he was magdish the animal with a Hare Olai, and since he said Hare Olai, he remains responsible if anything were to happen to this animal. And therefore the Gemara is saying it's not considered as if it completely left his rishus, because he still has, it's a dova agarim lamamin, it could cause him to have to replace the animal. And Rav Shimon's opinion is dova agarim lamamin, if it could cause him to have to replace the animal, kamamin dami, it's considered as if he still has ownership of it. Ask the Gemara, how can we interpret the reish of our Mishnah to be following the opinion of Rav Shimon, as we learned, and we'll discuss this soon again. Habmed the Sefer Rav Shimon have a, since we've established that the Sefer of our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rav Shimon, obviously Reisha lav Rav Shimon, the Reisha doesn't represent his opinion. Elo says the Gemara Hachav Ma'iskinen, our Mishnah, the Reisha of our Mishnah is referring to the situation of Kachm Kalim. And it follows the opinion of Aliba the Rabbi Yosef Glili. It follows Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion, Dama Kachim Kalam Mamim Balambu. The Kachim Kalam are considered still the under the ownership of the original owners. And therefore, even though the Ganif was Magdish this animal, since he was only Magdish it to be in the status of Kachim Kalam, so it's still considered Breshusa Kaimi. It's not considered like a sale, that when I sell something to somebody else, it completely leaves my possession. Here it's still somewhat in my ownership, and therefore it's not similar to a sale. Rashi, throughout this Amid, grapples with a very interesting situation. Rashi says, on one hand, our Gemara keeps on saying that it's considered like Hegdish, and therefore the Gemara says that certainly if somebody were to shecht this animal, it would be considered that he's shechting an animal of Hegdish, and he would not be chayv dal vehei. But Mechira, it's not considered Hegdish. So we have here a very interesting balance, the Mefarshim point out, that on one hand it is considered like Hegdish, and on another hand the Gemara is not going to consider it as far as Hegdish. As far as Tvicha and all the different scenarios that the Gemara is trying to come up with, it's still considered for Tvicha Hegdish. Avakachakachim. But the way we're now understanding, the reason why it's not similar, why being Magdish an animal is not similar to Mechira, because he was only Magdish it as Kachim Kalim. And when you magdish it only as kachim kalim, it remains somewhat yours. But had you been magdish it as kachim kachim, what would be the halacha? That would be considered a complete transfer to hegdish, and it would be similar to mechira. And therefore, mishalom tashlumi arba v'chamisha. You would have to pay arba v'chamisha like by any sale. Ask the Gemara if that is indeed the din adatani reisha. We learned in the reisha, gone for tovach. That if he did the tvicha mechira and only afterward, if he did the tvicha and only afterwards he did the hegdish, there the halach is mishalom tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Ask the Gemara, left nigbalas nabdida. The Gemara could have made a different nafkamina. But medvar mamurim, when is there a halacha? When is there a nafkamina? If you will magdish it prior to the tvicha, or you magdish it after the tvicha, that's only bekachim kalim, where you retain ownership. Avakachim kachim, Mishalom Tashlumi Arba Bav Chamisha, you'll always have to pay Arba Bav Chamisha, because the actual act of being Magdashit, since you're transferring it out of your possession, is like a Mechira. And the Mefarshim make a number of comments. One comment is, usually when the Gemara asks a question of Lifnig V'Listim B'Didah, the Gemara asks the question on the Reisha. That in the Reisha, we should have already made this Nafkamina. Here, the Gemara is asking on the Sefer, that in our Mishnah, which is the second Mishnah, the Mishnah should have made the Nafkamina that between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalam. The Mefarshim also ask that why didn't the Gemara, the Rishonim asked, the Shita quotes this question, that why didn't the Gemara answer that we wanted to make a Nafkamina in Kachim Kalam? The Gemara's question is that why doesn't the Mishnah differentiate between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalam? The Gemara could have answered that we wanted to make a Nafkamina in Kachim Kalam themselves, whether if you did the Geneva and Tficha before the Hegdish, or whether you did the Hegdish before the Tficha, rather than making a distinction between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalam. So the Mefarshim explain that part of the Gemara's question is that actually, and the Gemara referred to this, that the din that we learned in the previous Mishnah, the Garnaf Tovach Vachagach Hegdish, is an obvious din. Of course, since when you did the Geneva and the Tficha, it wasn't yet Hegdish, of course it's considered a regular situation of Geneva Tficha. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, instead of saying in the previous Mishnah something which is so obvious, we should have said in this Mishnah a nice Chiddush, the distinction we're making between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalam. And therefore the Gemara retracts from this approach, and the Gemara gives a different answer. There's no difference between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalam. I, or the Kashlach, so we asked, if so, Mali Machla Hegit Mali Machla Shemaim. We go back to the original question that we began today's shiur with. Why, when somebody's magdish this animal, should it not be considered a situation of Mechira, like any other Mechira, that it should be Chayiv Dal Vehei? Answers the Gemara. Machra lehegit, when somebody sells an item to somebody else, so it's completely transferred out of his possession. Because mikara tur de ruvein, fashion tur de shuman. When I sell an animal to somebody else, originally it was my animal, and now it's his animal, and my name is no longer associated with this animal. However, machra leshemayim, even when somebody sells a carbon, gives over a carbon, his magdish a carbon, that doesn't disassociate his name from the carbon. Mikara tur de ruvein, originally it was Ruvain's animal, and now hashtatur de ruvein, his name is still associated with it. It's called his carbon, and therefore the two situations of mechira and being magdish are not comparable. Point out, says Tosfos, where do we say this? By a carbon. We know that there are really two ways to affect Hegdish. One is Kachi Karban, that you magdish an animal as a carbon, and the other is Kachi Bedek Abayis. We donate something to the Beis HaMikdash. Says Tosfos, where is there a concept that my name, the name of the person who was magdished, is still associated with this animal? That's by Kachi Karban. It's called my carbon. By Kachi Mizbeach, however, Kachi Bedek Abayis, says Tosfos, it would not, my name is no longer associated with it, and there, being magdashit lebedek abayis, says Tosfos, is similar to a mechira. The Tosfos Rid disagrees with Tosfos, and Tosfos Rid says that even by kache mizbedek abayis, the name of the magdash is still associated with it, and he has a very nice raya, because we know the halach is that you could be poida Kachim, you can be Bekayid the Kachim by the Kabayis. But there's a difference if the original owner is the one that's Paida or somebody else. The original owner has to add a fifth when he's Paidit. Everyone else doesn't have to add a fifth. So we see that even by Bedek Abayis suggests the Tosfos Arid, the original owner's name is still associated with the item that he was Magdish. And Reb Chaim Brisker following explains Tosfos's pshat that he differentiates between Kotcha Bedek Abayis and Kotcha Mizbeach. Because Reb Chaim Brisker says there's a concept throughout Shas of Amirasa Legvoya Kemisirasa Lehejit. That as soon as I'm Magdish something, it's considered the property of Hegdish. Says Reb Chaim Brisker that according to Tosfos, that's only by Kotcha Bedek Abayis. It's no longer associated with the original owner. As soon as somebody's Magdish it, it becomes completely the property of the original, of the owner, of the Bedek Abayis of the Hegdish. However, by Kotcha Karbon, it's still connected, even though he was Magdish it, it's still somewhat connected to the original owner, and that's why the halacha is that we don't apply the concept of Amirasik L'Gvaya K'misiras L'Hejit. There's an interesting Pnei Yeshua, which is similar to something that we quoted earlier in the shir, that he wants to say that even in Kotcha Bedek Abayis, there may be a difference, he says, between a situation where the person who was Magdishit for Bedek Abayis already gave it over to the Hegdish versus a situation where he didn't yet give it over to the Hegdish and therefore it's still considered his. This Gemara actually is used to discuss an interesting Shaila. What the halacha would be, obviously, if someone makes a neder that a specific individual may not enter his home, obviously everybody has a right to make that kind of a neder. But if the person who made that neder sells his home, so it's obviously no longer his home and the neder is no longer valid. Discuss the Paiskim, the Rishonim already discussed this question. What would be the halacha if the person who was Magdishit, the person who made the neder was Magdish the house? Is it considered still his home and therefore no, the person who's the subject of the neder may no longer walk in, still may not walk in? Or once he is Magdishit, it's not his home anymore. It's like he sold it and therefore the neder is no longer valid. And the Paiskim say that Al Gemara seems to be saying that even when you Magdish something, it's still somewhat connected with you. On the other hand, the Paiskim say that it may be a difference what type of Hegdish you made. Were you Magdish it as a Lebedek Abayis? Where now, according to the way we understand, certainly from Tosfos, it's considered no longer yours, versus if you were Magdish it, Kotche, different type of a Hegdish. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon Oimer. Rav Shimon, as we said earlier in the shir, in our Mishnah, made a nafgamina between Kotshim Shechai B'Churyuson Harei Olai and Kotshish Enechai B'Churyuson Harei Zu. And the Gemara here in our Havamina is assuming that Rav Shimon, what Rav Shimon is saying is that there's a difference in the, if you were Magdishit and how you were Magdishit. If you were Magdishit as an Harei Olai or you were Magdishit as a Harei Zu, in one of those circumstances, being Magdishit will be considered, like we're discussing now, that you were sold it, and you'll be Chayiv Dal Vehei. On the other hand, a different type of Hegdish will not be considered that you sold it, and therefore, you will not be Chayiv Dal Vehei. Amri. So says the Gemara. The basis of Rav Shimon's position in the Mishnah is the suffer of Shimon, Mali Machla, Hejit Mali Lacham Shemaim. According to Rav Shimon, when you sell it, it's considered, when you magdish it, it's considered as if you sold it. But if that's the basis of what Rav Shimon is saying, then Rav Shimon should have said just the opposite. Ibchame Boyle, Kotchim Chai Bechuyuson, if the kind of Kotchim, where you said Harei Alai, that if something were to happen to this animal, you're obligated to replace it. There we could understand why you popped it from the Dalvei, because it's still considered your animal, because you're responsible if something were to happen to it. The Kati Lo Nafik Merishusei. On the other hand, Kotchim She'ena Chai Bechuyuson, if you're not responsible to replace it. That's when you should be chayv the dal vehei. The mafkalei murshut say it should be considered as if you completely transferred it out, and it should be the hegdish should be considered like a mechira. Yet in the Mishnah we find Rav Shimon saying just the opposite. Amri, so answers the Gemara, Rav Shimon amel sachritakai. Rav Shimon was saying actually something entirely different. Vaktani. Rav Shimon meant to say was as follows. En aganav acha aganav v'shalom tashlumei abar v'chamisha. If somebody steals from a ganav, he's not obligated to pay dal v'hei. Similarly, v'ken ganav hegdish mibeis balim. If somebody steals hegdish from somebody steals something that the owner was magdish, he's potter. My tama, because the Torah says v'gunav mibeis ish v'loy mibeis hegdish. Says Rav Shimon that even though we're learning now that if somebody steals something, it's not considered, if somebody steals hegdish, he shouldn't be chayiv kefil. When, says Rav Shimon, but if the hegdish that you stole was kotshim shchay b'chuyusun, kotshim that the owner has to replace, then you're chayiv. My tama, because karina bein v'gunim beis ish, it's still considered the owner's because you have to replace it. But if the hegdish that you stole is a hegdish that the owner will not have, is not responsible for, and therefore will not have to replace, he's potter. Because in that situation, agrees Rav Shimon, that's like Karina Bevi Gunav Beiseish. Ask Tosfos that Al Gemara is saying that the reason somebody is exempt for stealing something which is not, which is hegdish, is exempt for stealing something which is hegdish, because we're learning the gunam beis ish v'loy hegdish. As Tosfos, in our entire perek, the source for this halacha has actually been a different source. The source has been, the pasuk says, Yishalom shnayim l'rei ehu v'loy lahegdish. So why is our Gemara quoting a different pasuk, a new pasuk? So the Rishash answers that there are actually two dinim. One din is, if somebody steals hegdish, he only has to pay the keren and not the kefil. Because the pasuk says, Yishalom shnayim l'rei ehu, kefil is only paid l'rei ehu, v'loy l'hegdish. And then there's another din, that if somebody steals a carbon from the owner's house, so the first din was, if you stole hegdish while it was in the property of hegdish. The second din is somebody steals hegdish when it's still in the owner's house, and that the pasuk is telling us that you also potter from kefil v'gunav mibeis ish v'loy mibeis hegdish. So one case is where you stole it when it was in the hegdish's possession, and one is where you stole it when it's hegdish, but it's in the owner's possession. It's also interesting to note that here we see that if something is hegdish, even though, as the Rishash now helped us understand, that the Gemara is teaching us, it's in the possession of the owner, it still doesn't take away from it being considered hegdish. And the Rosh and the Paiskim use this concept to teach us an interesting halacha lemaisa for Pesach. Let's say I leave something that's chometz by someone else. So one would perhaps think that I, the owner of the chometz, should not be chayiv for bayiro or bayimotza, because I left it by that other individual. Teaches us the Rosh that just like in our Gemara, even though the item is hegdish, but it's by the owner, by the original owner's home, that doesn't change the fact that it's hegdish. The same thing, if this chometz is mine, no matter where it is, it's considered my chometz. Ask Rabbi Kiva Egel, if we follow the opinion of Shimon that says that Dova Goyim L'Mamin is Mamin, why does our Gemara say that if somebody steals a stolen item from a ganav, he's potter from kefil? If the ganav had it, he's a chayiv b'achrayis. He's obviously responsible to replace the stolen object if something happens to it. And Rav Shimon's opinion, as we have been learning, is that any time you chay b'chrayis, it's considered as if it's your item. So if I steal something from a ganif, asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, since the ganif is responsible for it, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, I should be considered a ganif. Says Dar Sameach, even though the ganif, as we're learning, is responsible for the item that he stole, obviously, it's still not considered his item. And as Mefarshim help us understand what the Ar Sameach says, it's not only not considered owned by the ganif, actually everybody has the responsibility of helping the original owner get this item back. And since everybody has the responsibility of getting this item back to its original owner, it's certainly considered ein shaloi. It's not considered owned or truly owned by the ganif. And the only time, says the Ar Sameach, even according to Rav Shimon, that does the Torah obligate us to pay kefil, is when we steal something from somebody who actually owns the item. Here, the ganif, certainly it's considered ein shaloi, and therefore a goinif min a ganif is not obligated to pay kefil. Ask the Gemara, michti, we have been learning also a number of times in our perek, according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, Shemini elei Rav Shimon, the opinion of Rav Shimon is that shchita she'en eruya lo shma shchita, that an invalid shchita is not considered a shchita. And that's why Rav Shimon says, or somebody shechted chulin bazara, or somebody shechted a treifa, all of these are examples of shchita she'en eruya lo shma shchita, and therefore you're not chayiv dal vehei. Ask the Gemara, if somebody takes this animal that the owner was Magdish and he shechts it outside of the base of Migdash, isn't that a perfect example of a shechita she'en eruya? So why would Rav Shimon say yechayiv dal vehei? Rav Shimon's opinion is that by shechita she'en eruya you're not chayiv dal vehei. And says the Gemara, kios Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan, the case of our Mishnah is that the ganif shechted the tamimim b'fnim l'shem ba'alim. He took the animal and he shechted it in the base of Migdash in order that the owner is Mekai has this, it shechted on behalf of the owner. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the ganif did, harei chazru ganeva karen l'ba'alim. So then the ganif hasn't done anything wrong. He returned it to the owner. The purpose of the owner, what was the owner's intent to do with this animal? His intent was to bring it as a carbon. And I have actually done that on his behalf. And explains Reb Moshe that even though the owner never appointed me, the ganif, to do this on his behalf, doesn't change the fact that if I properly brought the carbon, and even though Reb Moshe says smicha can't be done here, because smicha can only be done by the real owner, and I'm not the owner, it's considered that the carbon was properly brought. So why would there be a chiv? Why would there be any chiv? The Chassam Sofer uses this Gemara, quotes the Shaul Tshuvas Shev Yaakov, to say interesting psak based on this Gemara. He says that the minig, and the Shulchan Aruch actually says that this is the proper minig, is that not everybody said Kaddish. Not all the people who are Avelim said Kaddish. Rather, every Kaddish was said by a different oval. He says, what is the halacha, the Shev Yaakov says, that if somebody said Kaddish that really didn't belong to him? He took away Kaddish from the real person who's supposed to say the Kaddish. Says the Chassam Sofer, based on this Gemara, that doesn't really change anything. The Kaddish goes and will accomplish whatever the Kaddish is supposed to accomplish for whomever it's supposed to be said. Just like in our Gemara, the carbon maybe wasn't brought by its owner, but once it was brought, the real owner gets the credit. Here too, even though the real person who should have said Kaddish didn't actually say it, he gets the credit for the Kaddish that was supposed to be said. And the same concept, says the Steich Hemed, is Rachman al-Tzlan, let's say somebody's an ovel for two parents, and he has to say Kaddish both for his father and his mother. So how could one Kaddish work for both. So he again uses the same concept. The Kaddish is the Kaddish, and it works for whoever needs the Kaddish. The Mefarshim discussed that our Gemara is saying that it's referring to a situation, the Gemara at least thought that that's the way to understand the Mishnah, that the Ganef brought the carbon specifically on behalf of the owners. There's a debate amongst the Mefarshim, what would be the halacha if the Ganef brought the carbon on behalf of the owner, but he brought the carbon, brought it properly, but did not have specific intent that it should work for the real owner. What would be the din? Some Mefarshim say, as long as the carbon was brought in the Azara properly, the real owner will get credit. Other Mefarshim say that in order for the real owner to get credit, he has to have Kavana. The Ganef has to have Kavana that he intends to bring the carbon on behalf of the real owner. So, but the Gemara said that this teretz isn't a good teretz, because if that's what happened, then the owner wasn't hurt. He has his carbon brought on his behalf. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Oven says that's referring to a situation, shenishpach adam, that the blood was spilled out, and since the blood was spilled out, so the carbon isn't going to be considered a valid carbon, and the owner doesn't get the credit. Kiyosa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shoychet mimim b'fnim shloi l'shem balam. It's referring to a situation that he brought the carbon in the Azara, so therefore it's a shechita haruya. It's not chulin outside of the Azara, but he didn't bring it the Shem Balam. So Shechita Ruya it is because it was properly brought. But it's not Oil L'Shem Balam because he didn't have a mind. He specifically had a mind, perhaps, Shloi L'Shem Balam, and therefore he owes it to the owners. And the Rishonim discuss why each one of these Manda Omrim did not like the other one's Teretz. Ravin didn't like Rav Yitzchak's Teretz, the Shechita discusses, because to explain that's referring to the situation of Nishpach Adam. Nishpach Adam is a very extraordinary case. It usually doesn't happen. On the other hand, Rabbi Yitzchak did not like Ravin's Teretz, because Ravin's Teretz assumes that if you brought the carbon in the Azara, it's a kosher carbon, and it's a Shechita Ruya. Just the owner doesn't get credit. He says the Rishita says that's not really the halacha, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in Masechta Zvachim, by all Kabbanis. There's certain kabbanis that if they weren't brought on behalf of the owner, the halacha is that the carbon is completely disqualified. And it's not a shechita ruya. A carbon pesach is such an example, and therefore our Mishnah is speaking about all types of kabbanis. This din would not be by all kabbanis. With Shlokish Amr, Shlokish gives a different answer. It's referring to a situation that the animal was a balmum, and he brought it b'chutz, and an animal that's a balmum, you are allowed to bring outside the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's not considered a shechita she'ena ruya by being makriv them outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Tabai Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar, as he heard these answers, asked the following question. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that we're referring to a situation that he shechted the carbon inside the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's considered a shechita haruya. Ask the Gemara, is the shechita materis? Is the shechita what makes the carbon a valid carbon? V'lo yizrika materis. It's the zrika that makes the carbon a valid carbon. And since it's the Zrika that makes the carbon a valid carbon, so at the time of the Shechita, the Shechita did not make the animal Roy L'Achila. And therefore, it should not be considered a Shechita Haruya. Again, what is our problem? Our problem in this Gemara is that according to Reb Shimon, a Shechita She'ena Ruya is Lo Shema Shechita. So the Gemara attempted to identify different ways of understanding that it's a Shechita Ruya. And what was the example that the Gemara gave? That it's a shechita haruya because you shechted it in the Beis HaMikdash. But still, that shechita itself in the Azara, that shechita doesn't make it edible because a carbon to be considered a valid carbon needs zrika. So since it didn't have yet the zrika, it's still considered a shechita she'en haruya. And Rish Lakish, shechita materis. Rish Lakish said that we're referring that the animal was kachim, but it was a baal mum. So the halacha is that just shechting a baal mum is not going to make that animal valid or permissible to be eaten. You have to be paid it. You have to redeem it. So again, how could the shechita be considered, according to Reb Shimon, a shechita haruya? A shechita haruya means that as soon as you, after you shecht it, you'll be able to eat it. But you won't be able to eat it immediately after you shecht it. You have to be paid it. Says the Gemara, Ishtamitzei had Reb Shimon. Reb Elazar forgot something else Reb Shimon said. Because Reb Shimon says, Kala Oymed Lizroik, Kazarok Dami. That even if something wasn't yet, didn't have yet Zrika, but it's going to be ready for Zrika, or it's supposed to be ready for Zrika, it's considered like Zorik. So here too, as soon as the animal was slaughtered, even though it didn't have yet the Zrika, since it's supposed to be have the Zrika, so he says the concept of Kala Oymed Lizroik, Kazarok Dami, and Reb Shimon also holds Kala Oymed Livdois, the animal that's the Baal Mum, even though it didn't yet have the pinyon, Kala Oymed Livdois, Kapadi Dami, it's considered like it was already Nifta. And the Mefarshim explain why is that the din. So Taisus explains why is Kala Oymed Lizroik Kazarok Dami. He says because since there's a mitzvah midaraisa, there's an obligation midaraisa to do the zrika. So the halacha says since everybody's certainly going to fulfill the mitzvah he's obligated to do. That's why Kala Oymed Lizroik Kazarok Dami. However, the Rishonim also say that this concept that we're saying that Kala Oymed Lizroik Kazarok Dami is only when the blood is already in the cup. So once the blood is already in the cup, and the only thing that's missing is the actual zrika, but it's all prepared for the zrika, there we say, Kala Oymed Lizroik Kazarok Dami. But before the dam is in the cup, then it's not considered, we can't say Kala Oymed Lizroik Kazarok Dami. And as Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Beis Oitzer explains what Taisva says, since certainly every Jew wants to fulfill the mitzvah that he's obligated to fulfill, so Kalai Melizroik, since he has to fulfill the mitzvah of Zrika, that's why Kalai Melizroik, we say Kizaruk Dami. So now the Gemara says, where do we know this din of Kalai Melizroik Kizaruk Dami? The Tanya of Shimon Aymer. Yesh Noyse Shumatame Tumas Eichlin. According to the opinion of the Rabbonin, the Machlokes of Rav Shimon and Rabbonin, the opinion of the Rabbonin is that any food, as long as it's physically food, it has the din a food that is a din of Tumas Eichlem, that we know food is subject to Tumah. Rav Shimon, however, holds that food that's Osir Bahano is not subject to Tumas Eichlem. However, even Rav Shimon that has this Chumrah, or has, it's not really a Chumrah, has this din, says that if, that the only time food that's Osir Bahano is not subject to Tumas Eichlin, is food that was never Mutter Bahanor. However, food that at one time was Mutter Bahanor, there Reb Shimon says that the food is subject to Tumas Eichlin. And therefore Reb Shimon says, Yesh Neisser Shumetame Tumas Eichlin, there's food that becomes Neisser that is still subject to Tumas Eichlin, and there's Neisser that's not Metame Tumas Eichlem. And he explains, Ketzad, long aflay Zrika, and before Zrika took place, the animal, the carbon stayed, the blood wasn't thrown on the Mizbeach the day that the animal was geshochten. Therefore, the halacha is that the Zrika has to take place on the day of the Shechita. Here where it was Lina, where that didn't happen, that animal, that carbon becomes osur. And therefore, since that animal is osur, it's not it's osur b'hanah, and therefore it's enem etam tumas oichlan. Lach is richa, but after the zrika was done properly, the carbon was left to become noiser. Metame tumas oichlan. It does have tumas oichlan, because since it was originally mutter to be eaten, originally it was a kosher carbon, and it wasn't osur b'hanah, the halacha is that such a carbon is, even though now it's osur b'hanah, it's subject to tumas oichlan. The kaimelon, my lefnei zrika, so lefnei zrika and l'achas zrika, we learned, was if it was always osur, or was never always osur. But that's not what the Gemara says. My lefnei zrika, kan shenir zrika. L'achas zrika means l'achas shenir zrika. If it was fit or not fit for zrika. What does that mean? Explains the Gemara. Kan shenir zrika lon mahi, to lo have a shos b'yoyim l'mizrki. It's referred to the shachtei k'samach l'shkia sechama. The animal was slaughtered right before the shkia. As soon as shkia comes, the mizbeach is closed down. You can no longer do zrika. This animal, since it was shechted in this last moment, was a carbon that could have never been kosher. It's a carbon that could have never had zrika, because by the time it was fit for zrika, it was already pasul, and therefore ein matamat tumas oichlan. However, l'acha shenir l'zrika lon. What does that mean? Davishos b'yom l'mizrkei. The animal was slaughtered during the day. There was plenty of time after the shechita of the carbon to do zrika. He didn't do the zrika. And then the day ends, so the animal is osur b'hanah. Still, says Rav Shimon, it's metamei tumas oichlan. Because since there was a time during the day where zrika could have properly been done, between the shechita and shkia, even though this carbon never had the proper zrika, it doesn't change the fact that kala omer lizroik kazarik dami, and it's considered an animal, considered a carbon that had a time that it was not usur, and it will be subject, even according to Rav Shimon, to the dinim of tumas oichlan. So we see that kala omer lizroik kazarik dami. Similarly, in the Gemara that we learned earlier, where the animal, as soon as it's geshachtin, and I explained earlier, and the dam was brought into the kais, right away it's considered kol oimer lizer kazaruk dami, even though we didn't actually have a physical zrika, all we only had was the shechita. Since we combine with the shechita the concept of kol oimer lizer kazaruk dami, the shechita itself makes it be considered like the animal is already been completely properly slaughtered. And that's why we could understand that as soon as that the shechita, even according to Reb Shimon, who requires a shechita ruya, but we combine Reb Shimon's other concept of kala ayim lizra kazaruk dami, the shechita alone will be considered a shechita haruya that he should be chayiv dalad v'hei for.